I'm making sure I've got my social distance. I'm good. I'll try not to walk down the aisle. We have wonderful readings, and I could spend all day talking about Exodus, and then we could spend a week talking about the woman at the well, but I'm not sure that you would like to do any of that. So maybe if I cut it down just to the gospel and did it paragraph by paragraph? Probably not either. What I do, though, I want to set a tone and kind of a context just for the gospel. I'm born in New Mexico. It's a desert. I've lived in a desert for a long time. And the reason why I mention that to you is that in the desert, you always know where water is. Because if there isn't water, there isn't life. So there's vast stretches of New Mexico that don't support anything, well, maybe a tarantula or two, but they can live off of dew, you know, once a year or something. But there's parts of New Mexico that just are barren, and there are parts that are verdant when the rain comes. So you know where your water comes from in the desert. The reason why I tell you this is because Jesus was also a desert person, and he was exactly clear about where water came from, as was most everybody in biblical lands. They were a desert people, and they grew up knowing where their source of water was, because no water, no life. I'm tying this into our book, Watershed Discipleship. That we, you and I, need to be aware of where our water is coming from. Mostly, that we understand that we have to care for God's creation, and that we are not its dominators. We are its brothers and sisters. Francis, you know, called everybody a brother and a sister. So brother water and sister air. We need to have this type of relationship with God's creation, that we are not over it, we are in harmony with it and a part of it. All of creation is God's gift. Bonaventure, a Franciscan saint about 700 years ago, said, "Nature is unwritten gospel." Something to think about. Jesus was very much aware of the land that he lived in and where the water was. And so part of the distinctions were that they had water, like from a well, but that wasn't as preferred as moving waters from a spring or a stream. So in this whole dialogue with this person at the well, there comes into this play the difference between well water and spring water and another kind of water. But as we set this up, we're going to set up a few other things. So you have a woman of Samaria. The Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. The Samaritans worshiped on a different mountain. You know, people are into geography. So over there, that's the right one over there. And so they didn't get along, and everything that a Samaritan touched was considered unclean. All right? So here's Jesus, and he's tired. The word that they use to say that he sat is actually that he sat on the ground. It's about noon. There's a lot of nice details in this story. He sat down. It was about noon, and he was thirsty. And he's a rabbi. So let's run this down. He's a man who's Jewish and a rabbi. He should not be talking to a woman who's a Samaritan and asking for water. Do you see how this is all being set up? And yet, once again, Jesus sits down. Hey, I'm thirsty. And that dialogue begins. What are you asking me? You're a man and a Jew and a rabbi. And you're asking me. I'm a Samaritan woman. We don't even talk. And it goes from there. In the process of this, Jesus says to her, "You know what? I'll give you some living waters." And actually, it's a better translation to say the waters of life, different from living waters from a stream or from a spring, and not the still waters of the well. I am going to give you the waters of life. This makes sense to people who live in a desert. Can you imagine what it would be like for somebody to say to you, I'm going to make sure that for the rest of your life, you will not have to worry about any water that you drink or any food. It will all be provided for you, that all of your basic necessities will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything. That's what he's saying to this woman. I will make sure the rest of your life, you're going to have water. This to somebody who's had to pull water out of the well every day of her life. That would sound like heaven, wouldn't it? And when Jesus turns that and says, waters of life, she thinks, what, you're going to give me a stream or a spring? And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the essence of life, the waters of life, the presence of God within us that gives this activity of mercy and kindness. And by the way, the waters of life are offered to her well before we get into the part of the story about how many husbands, might be a euphemism, how many husbands she's had and the one that she's currently with. We don't really have to go any further about that except to say that this person has had a hard life. And Jesus sees her with compassion. He gives her living waters, waters of life, well before there's any discussion about the condition of her soul. That's an important thing, is that God is giving us what we need, no matter how we are, no matter where we might find ourselves. If we are thirsty, not just to slake our physical thirst, but if we are thirsty for justice and peace, and love and hope, that God has given us these waters of life before there's ever any discussion at all about how we might be worthy or not worthy. That's the first thing. The second thing that I want to talk to you about is she left her bucket. We skip right over that every time we read this gospel. It's one of those little notes, and it's really important. She left her bucket. Now think about it. Why would she, this is something that she uses every day. It's by necessity. She doesn't have a Kmart to go and buy hand sanitizer. Oh, they don't have that either. She doesn't have a place to buy another bucket. She uses that bucket every day of her life, and it's a vital necessity. She's not going to give away her bucket. Her bucket is one of her prized possessions. Anybody that lives in the desert that gives away a container to hold water is going to die. And you all know it. You live in the desert and you think, okay, I can go walk in the mountains without water. You're going to die. Okay, you got a couple of days, but not much. She's not going to give away her bucket. And yet she leaves it for Jesus. Why? Because he was thirsty. Now think about this. He has already filled her life with these waters of life. You can see that because she started off calling him a man and a Jew, and then she called him sir. And then she called him prophet. And then she called him Messiah. And at the very end of the reading, we hear Savior of the world. Those waters of life have begun to well up inside of her. And she begins to see who Jesus really is. He's gone from a man to a Jew to a rabbi to all those progressions to the one of God. Would have been bad if I'd caught my sleeve on fire. She has seen Jesus for who he is. The waters are evident in her life. Her life, her soul, is becoming green with the wonder of God. She leaves the bucket. It's really about the only thing she has. In some ways, she doesn't need the bucket anymore. She leaves the bucket because Jesus is thirsty. Now, the practical side of this, being a Franciscan, I love this. Particularly now. We're going to have to figure out ways to keep the waters of life flowing in this community. We may not be able to spend as much time together, and we can't hug, and we can't shake hands, and we can't give that energy of connectedness. So we have to learn new ways of giving those living waters today, and we can. There are ways for us to do this. It is through intention. It is through continued kindness. It is through connection. We have to figure out new ways to be the community, the family that God has called us to be. There's a lot of different ways that we can think about that. But in a sense, we need to make sure that we leave the bucket so that when people are thirsty, they have a way to slake their thirst. We have life waters within us. We can leave the bucket. There's ways to make sure that no one here goes thirsty. There's ways to make sure that those that are not here and beyond, they don't have to go thirsty. The Samaritan woman left us a bucket. What are we going to do with it?